T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You get your little fanny perpendicular and get ready for school.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Brad Hunt will make his way to center, and we wait for the drop pass, and there it is. Carlson for Riley Smith. Back to Carlson. He's got a wide open man in front, and Marchessault does not miss. Despite all of that, the Sabres are a goal away from putting a scare into these Knights. Not now. That's tipped in right in front of the net. Carlson gets a stick on it. That's 3-0.
We were ready for them to come out hard, I think. They came out ready to go, and we were a little slow. I think that's obviously something we got to work on, and we'll learn from it. We'll get better at it, but it can't happen again.
We knew they were going to play hard, right? They've been on the road for a while. They were coming off a good win in Philly. We knew they were going to push hard. I thought that at times we did some good things in their zone and played well, but we're just not generating any offense, in my opinion. And I think that it's obviously hard to score goals in this league, and you know, every pass has to matter. I mean, I think we're letting teams off the hook a little bit too easily when we have them, and you know, it's just something we need to work on. I think it's something that you learn a little bit, and it's not easy to score goals, but we need to work on doing it.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Casey Mittelstadt and Jack Eichel, some of their comments after the loss in Vegas last night. A good Wednesday morning to you. Well, it's not a good Wednesday morning. I mean, the Sabres lost and Josh Allen's out for a few weeks. But you know what I'm saying? We're all here. We'll get in some Sabres and some Bills. Anybody else know that the NBA season opened up last night? Totally missed that one. Completely caught me off guard. Jeremy is off this morning. Brayton and I will carry you through the show and do our best to entertain you. And we'll talk about the Sabres game. It was not an entertaining hockey game last night. I just actually tweeted out, don't look at Twitter. I just tweeted out, Brayton. I'm not talking to listeners, I'm talking to Brayton. I just tweeted out my favorite moment of the game last night. What do you think it was? I will tell you. I'll try and give you a hint, because it's hard. Don't look at Twitter. Are you cheating?
No.
What are you? Are you the Red Sox?
No.
Okay, the Red Sox might be cheating. Anyway.
I thought it was the Astros that were cheating.
Oh, it was the Astros were cheating. Well, one of them's cheating. Yeah. All right, I knew it was that series. It had nothing to do with an actual play in the game. It was actually a comment made by Rob Ray.
Oh, boy.
On the broadcast, on the telecast.
It was something that the building was shaking so loud he might have to go to the bathroom.
He said the building was buzzing. It's vibrating so much, I might have to go to the bathroom. That was the high point of the game, which actually tells you everything you need to know about last night's game. It was a miserable first period. It was one of those periods where the Sabres are clearly getting outplayed. By the way, phone lines, let me just give you the number right off the bat, because we'll start talking and blabbering all over the place. 803-0550. Hey, if you stayed up, game ended around 12:45, and you're up right now?
Yeah.
Kudos to you. I took the old 5-hour energy drink, so I now have the adrenaline push going.
Well, that's good for you. Yeah. Sabres After Dark is not going off to a great start, at least.
No.
But Rob Ray's comments certainly kicked it off in a very interesting way.
I thought Rob was on last. He was funny last night. And as I said, that was the best part of the game. There really wasn't really very much to cheer about.
No.
It was the first period. It was one of those periods. Anyway, call us, 803-0550. If you watch the game, listen to the game, we'd love to talk to you about it. We'll get to some other stuff, too. It was one of those periods where, you know, they're clearly getting outplayed. I mean, it's bad. You know what it was? It was the exact opposite of last Monday's game with Vegas. You know, you were at that game, too. Brayton was up in the hoity-toity suite. I was down with the Commoners. But I remember watching that game thinking, wow, the Sabres look faster than Vegas. Like, well, this is really entertaining. This is good. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury had a bad day. Remember, they gave up 3 goals on 4 shots in the second period, but the Sabres were really outskating Vegas at points in that game. And compared to what we had seen last season when the Sabres played Vegas and looked really slow, I was really impressed. Last night's first period was the reverse. Vegas had all the jump. The Sabres looked slow. And you could, I mean, it just was one of those periods where it's nothing late in the first. I'm trying to think. Let me just double check when they actually scored the one goal. Wait for it. Okay, with a minute one left in the first period, the power play goal. Before that goal, you're just thinking, just get to the intermission. You know, you have played so bad. If it's 0-0 at the intermission, that's a minor victory. That's how bad they were. They couldn't generate anything on offense. But worse than that, they couldn't get out of their own end. It was about as bad a period as you could play and yet still be scoreless with a minute to go in the period, a minute one left when they scored. They had numerous turnovers. It was a rough night. Well, it was a rough night for everybody, really for the defensemen. They were bad in their own end. There were a lot of turnovers in their own end. It was one of those nights where you watch some of the passing and you shake your head. You know, you can't get speed through the neutral zone if the first pass out of your zone is in the player's skates. And either he loses the puck or he's got to stop going up ice to gather the puck in because it was not an accurate pass. And the Sabres were, I was going to say the Sabres were their own worst enemy, but that's not giving Vegas enough credit. But they were bad. They couldn't connect passes. They turned the puck over. They made bad decisions. As I said, I mean, if you're not getting out of your own end and or turning the puck over in the neutral zone, guess what's not happening? Offensive zone time and chances. They ended up with just 10 shot attempts in the first period, 5 shots on goal. And honestly, I'm not sure that Marc-Andre Fleury broke a sweat in the first period. And then they gave up the power play goal. And it was almost like watching the Sabres offense last night. I'm sorry to be a jerk about this. It was like watching the Bills offense. Like, oh my God, they're not going to score. Like, it's just so painful to watch. It was one of those nights. On the power play, too, they had 6 power plays last night. Not a single goal on the power play. I mean, they had, you're right, you're thinking, as bad as the first period was, it's 1-0. And then it's 2-0 until Vegas gets a goal, I think past the midway point in the third. But the Sabres had power play after power play after power play. And you're thinking, just knock one in. Just one goal. You know, get it to 2-1 and see, who knows? We'll see what happens. But they just couldn't generate anything on the power play. In fact, one of the power plays was so bad, they kept turning the puck over and gave up a shorthanded goal. Their entries were terrible. Their passes were terrible. They turned pucks over on that power play, and it led to a shorthanded goal that Carter Hutton probably should have stopped, but a shorthanded goal because the Sabres were just disorganized on the power play. It was a very forgettable night for the Sabres last night.
8 shots on the power play, nothing going. 17 shots, even strength, and technically they had an empty net, I think, at the time.
The Sobotka goal, yeah.
Sobotka goal.
It was right. They had a 6-on-4,
yeah.
By the way. Pulled the goalie, good, with just under 5 minutes left.
Yep.
Housley pulls the goalie, great. It's 3-0. Who cares if you lose 4-0?
Yeah.
And then they get the power play. So they go 6-on-4. And they couldn't even get into the Vegas zone and get organized for the first, minute of that power play? They couldn't even gain the zone and set up with the 6-on-4.
It wasn't pretty. It certainly seemed like that they weren't ready to go right off the start. I mean, Casey Middlestad and Jack Eichel both said, we knew they were going to come out and they were going to go flying. It's like the Boston game. They knew they were going to come out. They knew they were going to be flying because, you know, they had just, you know, Boston at the time lost, but then the Flyers were coming back home from a 5-game road trip, and they were going to play on home ice for the first time, and after a good win over Philadelphia, and they just came out flat. They came out like they didn't have the energy. They came out as if they didn't have the speed to keep up with Vegas, and it showed in the first period because they were outshot, 5-12 in the first period,
and
a lot of the shots that Buffalo generated in that first period were kind of just easy for Marc-Andre Fleury to corral and to kind of hold off. I mean, he didn't really face any tough challenges where Carter Hutton a lot of the night was spinning on top of his head. But, yeah, I mean, Carter Hutton, even at that fact, didn't really help them out with the shorthanded goal that he probably should have stopped. And there was nothing from this game that I took that could say, well, at least this was good tonight. Yeah. Maybe the only point that I could say that was good was Kyle Okposo. I thought he played his best game so far this season. And even then, just the rest of the team was so lackluster. And I kind of made a comment yesterday on Twitter saying, I said that Tage Thompson really needs to go back to the AHL, which he does. And then somebody said, well, I think Casey Middlestad could use it too. And I said, I wholeheartedly, strongly disagree. I think he's been one of our better forwards for, you know, the past few years. He's been one of the better Sabres forwards. And, people were just saying, what are you smoking? Are you nuts? And it's like, look, Casey Middlestad, the past 2 games against Colorado and against Arizona, I thought has been generating a lot of offense. He's been sticking with it. He's been making more plays with the puck, and he's been getting more chances. Yesterday was a little bit of a struggle for Casey Mittelstadt because obviously we saw him take a penalty and we saw him struggle a little bit, but I still thought yesterday he was maybe one of our better offensive generators with carrying the puck into the zone and getting the chance to set up something, but it just wasn't there for anyone, really.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, you couldn't, there's no way to single one person out. I mean, it just was a across the board. I mean, Hutton made some really nice saves, but he's got to stop that shorthanded goal. You know, I mean, Ristolainen plays the pass. You know, I think he does. It's frustrating to watch. I'd like him to step up on Cody Eakin and just not give him a free pass, but he's doing what he, it's a 2-on-1 or partial 2-on-1. Reinhardt's chasing the other player. So he takes away the pass and figures, okay, you take the shooter.
Right. That's
and
you exactly
can't stop,
what you want.
And he doesn't make the save. So, I mean, that was a, you know, on a night when you're not, when you're not generating anything offensively, a 2-0 lead felt, again, it felt like the Bills when they're down like 10 points or 7 points, you think, oh my God, it's insurmountable. And it's funny. I think in terms of guys, I like your point about Oposo. I think Oposo has looked really strong on the puck. You know, and I'm not here to award brownie points for effort, but he is playing hard. He is bringing it every night, and he is doing the dirty work on the boards, and I think he's done a pretty good job of maintaining possession and you know, winning some one-on-one battles and creating some plays. I thought he shot a couple times too fast on the power play with nobody in front. He just gave Marc-Andre Fleury a clear path to the puck. But I think Oposo, again, if you're grading out players from last night, I guess Oposo would be one of the few guys who might have a positive grade. It was a rough night for a lot of people. And look, you know, one of the other things that happened in the first period was it gets negated by the offside challenge, but Dahlin got beat badly by Shea Theodore. Just whoops, right around him play for the first goal by Vegas, but the Sabres wisely, smartly, correctly challenged it for offside and wiped it out. But Dahlin had a couple of rough moments last night. That was one of them, and there were a couple others I thought where, you know, you could see, you know, he's going through the learning process. I thought McCabe was one of the worst Sabres last night. I thought he had a really bad game. Maybe it was a bounce of the puck a couple of times, but he had turnover after turnover, and he looked shaky. It was discouraging. You know, you knew you looked at the schedule and thought, you know, you better beat Arizona because that looked to be the easiest game on paper. And what troubled me was if you lose to Vegas, you know, how are you going to do tomorrow night in San Jose is tough. Now you're looking at 1-2 going into L.A. for the weekend. Hopefully you get one of those maybe. I know Anaheim's really having problems and they're really banged up. But it's just the way they looked last night. They looked so good against this team a week ago. And last night, nothing in the first period. I mean, zippo.
Right, you mentioned against Vegas the first game.
Oh, it was great. Like, Vegas did. I'm telling you, it was the exact opposite. Vegas didn't know what hit him last week. And last night, the Sabres were on their heels. They're backing into their zone. They're not, you know, they're not getting any forecheck. How many times last night we can sit here and talk about the Sabres' terrible exits from their own zone, turnovers, what have you, bad passes. How many times last night did you see Vegas? It was too easy for them to leave their own zone. You know, there were times where there was one or two times where there wasn't even a Sabre on the screen or near a Vegas player until he approached the red line with the puck.
Right.
So Vegas, it was so easy for them to get speed, get up ice, and break out because they weren't being challenged by the Sabres last night.
And they were able to move the puck well and generate shots on goal, whereas the Sabres, they didn't really shoot the puck much at all. They had opportunities, and they weren't taking the right shots. And then when they did take shots, there was lanes blocked up or they missed badly.
I take notes because I don't remember anything.
Right.
You said a moment ago, 5 shots in the first period.
Yeah.
I just checked my notes. I don't have anything. I couldn't even tell you one of those 5 shots. Like, I don't think any of them was a really good scoring chance.
I think the
best scoring chance might not have been until Mittelstadt's in the crease off the Thompson rebound, but his stick is tied up. I mean, they were few and far between last night.
The only shot I remember from the first period is an Oposo shot, but his shot was like seen the whole way by Fleury.
I think that was on the power play.
Yes, it was on the power play. Reinhardt
had stepped out and gone down low to wait for a pass, and instead Oposo shot it, and it was just a clear lane.
Right, clear lane for Fleury to see, and he just pretty much gloved it right off the bat. But Sabres, again, are at the bottom of the league in shots on goal per game. They're 26.5 right now. That's the fourth worst. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's only 6 games in, but you can't let these trends continue. You can't continue to come out slow. You can't continue to not make good decisions and miss on these passes. I mean, yesterday is as bad as the Colorado game. Maybe just not amplified because, you know, the Sabres hit six goals against them.
Right, the score wasn't as bad, right.
Right, but the fact is that you just can't keep having a great performance and then you can't keep having the really crappy performance afterwards. Mm-hmm. You have to find some consistency, and I get it. There's going to be growing pains with this team. They're a young team. I don't think they're going to be the worst in the NHL like they have been over the past few years, but it's just one of those things where you got to find consistency, and that's where I know Jeremy talks about it. It's the coaches, you know, it's the coaching standpoint, you know, now you think about it, but something's got to happen because, I mean, these guys can say, well, we knew we were going to come out. We felt we were ready, but, you know, we came out slow or, you know, hey, we didn't come out ready. We can't be hearing this anymore. I know it's six games in, but, you know, nip it in the bud right now and move forward. You got to come out 100% ready to go, and you got to play a full 60 minutes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I already got a couple tweets about some of the comments after the game last night. And I know we talked about this last week or, you know, within the opening homestand because they have that stinker against Boston on opening night. And after the game, I think it was Eichel, and I'm not trying to single him out, but, you know, he's going to, of course, talk to the media after every game. He's the captain of the team. But after the game, he said something about our compete level wasn't there. And I'm thinking, it's opening night. If your compete level's not there for opening night of the season, when is it going to be there? And then it would have been the Colorado game, Brayton, where maybe some of the guys after the game were saying we just weren't prepared to play. So I got a couple tweets. Kevin tweeted and another tweet here from the 716. Kevin tweeted, "You have 2 days to get ready, but you aren't ready to play. That's total crap. Tired of the excuses. We have to work on that. Exactly when does that get done?" 716 tweet was, "Love when the Sabres win, but the postgame loss excuses are atrocious. Last night's jam, quote, we weren't prepared." I will tell you this, and I think the compete level after the Bruins game, and I think the we weren't prepared to play after the Colorado game, they all fall in the same category. Just say you were outplayed. Just say, we were bad tonight. We stunk. We were outplayed. You know, we've got to be much better. I think players will latch on to certain phrases to try and explain a loss. I don't necessarily think it's, you know, pull out the book of excuses. The media is about to come in the locker room. Hey, guys, let's go with our compete level wasn't there. Let's go with, you know, we lacked focus tonight. You know, they stunk. They had, you know, they had the game taken to them, and they had no answer. They were sloppy. They were disorganized. They were getting outskated. They were getting outchecked. They were getting outchanced. They were getting out everything. I try not to get, honestly, the compete level after the opener threw me just because it was opening night. But I think you will find that players will lean on certain answers to explain a night where they stunk without them actually saying, "Yeah, we stunk." And I think that's so the whole we weren't prepared. I don't know why. Why wouldn't you be prepared? You know, you shouldn't be tired. You had a day off Sunday. You had a Monday practice. You're coming off a win over Vegas. You know, you're 3-2. I mean, you just played this team last week, so you're familiar with them. I don't know why you wouldn't be prepared to play. Can't be time zone. You've been out west for a few days. So there's no reason you wouldn't be prepared. You came out, you weren't good. They were really good, and they kicked your butt. And you'd probably like the Sabres, the players, to just say that instead of reaching for something to try and explain it, because that explanation typically is not going to go over well with fans. They don't want to hear that stuff. Just tell me you got your butts kicked, and you did. You know, hey, guys, yeah, you know what? Vegas took the game to us in the first period. You could see it building a little bit in the first period, right? You could see this was a different looking Vegas team than the one that was here a little over a week ago. But it really took place, like the Sabres went on their first power play just after the midway point of the first period. Now they don't score, but right after that, like the last, let's see, it would have been what, 7-8 minutes of the first period, Vegas skated them into the ground. I mean, it was clear in the back half of that period, Vegas was dominating the game. Even though they didn't score until their power play goal with about a minute left, Vegas was clearly the better team. So, look, after the game just comes, yeah, they took it to us. No excuses. Don't know, you know, we were bad. Our passes, bad. Our play on our own end, bad. Breakdowns defensively. Yep. Power play didn't generate enough shots. We were, you know, whatever. You can, as opposed to we weren't prepared, just come out and say, yeah, we stunk. You know, and I don't know how fans would take that or not take that, but that's pretty much what happened last night. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. So, so the trip goes to 1-1 so far. They go to San Jose tomorrow. The other thing that I was thinking about from last night, Brayton, if you could just, so there's three games left on this Western trip. Okay. You go to San Jose tomorrow night. Tough task, but keep in mind, you know what? I got to look this up. If I don't get it, I'm sure somebody will have the stat before tomorrow night's game, or they'll have it on the telecast. San Jose, right? They've been good forever. And yet this is one of those places where the Sabres traditionally have played well. I'll have to look up the record. They've got a crazy, phenomenally good record in San Jose. Even, like, I think the Tank team might have won out there. Like, the Sabres just play well out west. Now, that's a really good team, a Stanley Cup contender. You got that. You got the Kings and the Ducks. Can you win at least one game? You know, I was thinking about this last night. You know, they lose, they go to 3-3. So, could you get at least one win out of the next three? So you go 2-3 on the trip. Now you come back at 4-5. I'm not here to tell you you should throw a parade because they're only one game under 500. But relatively speaking, if you look at the first nine games, it's a tough schedule. You know, it does include a five-game Western trip. But if you break down the nine opponents, okay, seven of them were in the playoffs last year. Now that's counting Vegas twice, by the way. But so seven of the nine opponents, including Vegas two times, were in the playoffs last year. If this team can get through that nine-game stretch at 4-5 with that schedule, with a five-game Western swing, that's not bad, okay? That's, you know, there have been plenty of times this series. I was worried the Sabres would bury themselves before Halloween and be like, you know, 2-6-1 or something crazy. If you can get at least one win, if not, sneak a couple. It's not a bad spot to be in coming back off this trip when they return Sunday night from Anaheim. So we'll get your thoughts in on the Sabres. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. And, we will get to Bill's stuff. Brayton mentioned in the update at the top of the hour, the latest on the Josh Allen front. Various reports saying it's a sprained elbow, ulnar collateral ligament. Apparently does not need surgery, but expected to miss 2 or 3 games. And then we see what happens after that, and we'll kind of play it by ear type of thing. All right, we'll get in our first break, but we want to hear from all of you. 803-0550 to grab a line, 888-552-550. On the show today, Sal's going to be coming in studio a little bit later, going to join us at 8 o'clock. We will have a Colts scouting report at 9:30 from former Bill Joe Stasniak, who's a talk show host in Indianapolis. Chris Taylor, Amerks coach, is going to join us at 8:45. We'll get the rundown on what's happening in the AHL with the Amerks. Victor Olofsson is off to a very good start in Rochester, named the AHL Player of the Week. So all that's coming up, and hopefully your calls on WGR.
We weren't real sharp with our execution when we were good coming out of our end. We had this push and we had some zone time, but you could see just the lack of execution. You can't turn pucks over on this team. They feast on it. They're very aggressive on the transition and they come back at you. And then we're just spending a lot of time in our own zone playing defense. Lesson to be learned that we've got to make sure that our execution has to be ready when the puck drops. Not 10 minutes into the game or at the end of the first period. That was a difference in the first period. Second and third period, anything we played that match.
Yeah, they were better. I mean, I think the first period was that bad. It was one of those things where it's hard to be worse. They were better in the second and third period, but still nowhere near good enough and end up, that's Phil Housley, Sabres coach, his comments after the loss to Vegas last night. 3-1 the final. The lone goal for the Sabres, Vladimir Sobotka, with a little over half a minute left. The Sabres, special teams was big last night. Vegas had a power play goal. They had a shorthanded goal, and the Sabres went 0-6 on the power play. Zach Bogosian returned to the lineup last night in his first game of the season. The Sabres are now 3-3. They're at San Jose tomorrow night, and Brayton has the stat. Do you have the stat on the Sabres in San Jose?
I do have the stat on San Jose. And,
it was like 8-1 or something like that. I don't know. Some crazy winning record.
Their record against San Jose on the road is, let's see here. I'm just trying to remember. Okay, so this is series record against. Okay. So,
I jumped the gun, false start.
No, I'm just trying to make sure this is correct here. But according to M Cubed, that's the website that I'm looking at here that has the stat here. The Sabres away are
They got a winning record in San Jose. The last, what, like 8-9 years? I feel like they win on a regular basis.
They've been more successful, you know, since like the lockout, for instance. Yep. So since the lockout, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins in San Jose.
Like, explain that, right? The Sabres, one of the worst teams in the league in years, winning in San Jose on a regular basis.
Sabres have lost the last 3 against San Jose, though, dating back to last year and the year before that.
Out there, or that's both? No, just here, just combined, both. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's the latest on the Sabres. One other note from the NHL last night, Connor McDavid set a record. He had 4 points, by the way. Edmonton beat Winnipeg 5-4 in overtime, but he set a new NHL record by getting a point on the first 9 goals of the season for his team. He's good. There are multiple reports that Josh Allen, the injury is a sprained elbow, that he will not need surgery. He would probably miss 2 or 3 games and then be week to week, and we'll see when he gets back. Sean McDermott will meet with the media this morning. Sal's going to be on hand for that. We'll see if he confirms the injury diagnosis, and if he does, if he makes an announcement on who is starting Sunday against the Colts. The Falcons put running back Devontae Freeman on IR. Opening night in the NBA last night, Warriors got their rings and beat Oklahoma City. Boston beat Philadelphia. Major League Baseball, maybe you stayed up for the end of the Dodgers game. Did not. 2-1, they beat Milwaukee in 13. That series is tied at 2. Boston got an explosion of runs late, beat Houston 8-2. Red Sox lead that series 2-1. Those are your headlines. The next update coming up at 7 o'clock. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Larry in South Florida, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Brayden, I apologize. Poor Brayden had to listen to me rant at the when I called in. And, you know, that's really your responsibility, Howard. So, Brayden, I'm sorry.
No. That's the definition of a call screener. So, Brayden is like, Brayden is like the Secret Service for the president. You know, they take the bullet, they protect him.
It's my job.
The call screener is supposed to protect us and help us maintain our sanity.
Well, he let me go through, so I don't know if he protected you very well, but normally...
Well, I didn't say Brayden was good at his job. I'm just describing what they're supposed to do.
Oh, gee, thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I like you, Brayden. So, anyway, I'll tell him to Brayden. I mean, I'm just so frustrated. Every year I get excited for the draft, both NHL and NFL, and the start of the season, and every year. It's grossly disappointing, and to put it bluntly, it's boring. And I stayed up and watched that first period last night, Howard, and... No, my brother, who lives in Canada, was like, hey, you just got to watch the rest of this game. I said, I can't. I got to work in the morning. And, I can't sit here and watch these guys make passes at the feet, can't get the puck out of the zone. So we go and grab Darlene. We still can't move the puck. We go and get speed. And, yes, we are faster and maybe a little better. We're 3-3. Normally we're 1-5 or 0-5 or 1-4-1 at this point. So we're slightly improved. But... what is it going to take, Howard? And I asked Brayden if you guys have some answers, if you could try to help me understand this. How can you, at the start of the season, be interviewed and say, we weren't ready to compete. We weren't prepared.
Yeah.
It's 6 games in. Now, today in calculus, I teach implicit differentiation. If I'm not prepared, Howard, I'm losing my job. So how can these guys, and whose responsibility is it for them to be prepared? Is it they don't have a game plan? Are they just lazy? I'm just so frustrated with both teams. I mean, the defense on the Bills is amazing, and we're wasting it. We're wasting McCoy. We're wasting that. I think decision-making has been awful. I think just listening to the draft analysts from 2014, this team could be playing against the Patriots for the division title every year. I don't understand the brain trust and where it goes. So if you have an answer... who really is ultimately responsible for this besides Kim and Terry Pegula?
Well, there's a lot of people responsible. Ultimately, the owner hires the GM, and the GM puts the coach in place, typically. But if you're not happy, who's responsible? Well, it'd be who put the roster together and how's the coaching staff doing and the players. I mean, it's a shared responsibility. You know, we're not prepared. As I said, I didn't like hearing Eichel on opening night tell me the compete level wasn't there. I found that incredible. But as I said, I think players use this stuff instead of saying, yeah, Boston's better than us. Like, that's a better hockey team than we are, and it showed. Vegas is a better hockey team than the Sabres, and it showed. Okay, but They're not going to say that. So what do they say? We weren't ready. We weren't prepared. We didn't have focus. Our compete level wasn't there. Whatever. They reach for catchphrases. Excuse me. They reach for catchphrases. You know, another one, you know, I'm looking at a tweet about motivation. I mean, maybe I can tie this in, Larry, with you got your butts kicked last night. They're a really good hockey team, and you didn't play well, and they did. Boom, done. End of sentence. There's nothing else to explain. I can't believe they're not prepared. Like, if you're not prepared, it means the coach, either the coaches never looked at Vegas tape and gave you any idea of how you beat the Golden Knights last night. Like, hey, here's what they do well. Here's what we're going to do to counter that. Like, you'd have to tell me if you're not prepared, they never said anything about a game plan. Obviously, that's not the case. Or if we're going to blame the players, then the players just don't pay attention. Like, Housley and the coaching staff are going through everything at the skate yesterday, and they're thinking about how much they wanted the slots the night before. I don't buy that. I can't believe that the coaches, and the same thing with the Bills, you know? If the Bills get beat, I mean, the coaches have a game plan. They pour over tape. They watch all the cut-ups, the clips, everything of their opponents. They install the game plan. They practice all week. You're not prepared? No, you get your butts kicked sometime, or the other team is flat out better than you are. So the whole thing about not prepared and all that stuff, I don't buy it. You know, they came out last night and they got their butts beat. Boom. That's it. It's I'm sure they were prepared. And when you're a player, maybe you know, you don't want to admit we're not as good as they are. So what do you say? Yeah, we just didn't have our focus tonight. I got a tweet about Housley. Housley can't get the team motivated, period. How about coming to play? You need a coach? Come on, we're talking about grown men, professionals. This is their job. Like, I always, that point always gets me. Like, coaches motivating. Okay, sure, there are times over the course of an 82-game season where there are probably nights where you've got, it's a tough job to get the guys to play hard every night, 82 nights. I'm not sure that any team does that in the NHL, okay? And by the way, I'm not saying last night was effort. I think they tried, and they just got outplayed badly. But the whole motivation thing, I've never been a fan of that. Does Phil Housley have to give like a rah-rah speech before they take the ice at the arena last night to get them motivated to play? It's their job. They're trying to win games. This franchise has stunk for how many years? You'd play with pride. You'd be motivated. You want to win. You'd be tired of losing, especially for the guys who've been around here a few years. So I don't buy the motivation thing. I think that's a bunch of garbage. Come out and play. It's your job. You know, I don't need a speech from my boss. You know, he doesn't have to call me at 5:55 and go, all right, come on, Howard, bring it. You're on the air in 7 minutes. Just show up and play. It's your job. So I'm not buying the motivation stuff.
Ryan tweeted in, it was a bad game. That five-hour energy that you have has made you way too animated.
I know, I'm really peppy. I know.
To a Western Conference champion team that we just split a home-and-home with. Relax, the world's not ending.
Oh, am I portraying that the season went down the crapper last night?
No, of course not.
But they were bad. I mean, so you can say they were bad. They were horrible in the first period last night. That was a very forgettable first 20 minutes. And it's okay to say that and still think, but, you know, hey, guess what? The season's not over. They're 3-3. I said, you know what? At least win one of the next three games. And if you come back 4-5 after this first 9-game stretch with the teams you've played, okay, I'm good with that. Build on that. So, yeah, I do get a little bit of a, yeah, I get the boost from the energy drink, and I get, like, guns a-blazing at 6. Don't worry, I'll calm down as the show goes on. It'll just kind of...
You'll just hit that normal crash at around 10:30.
But I was going to say, you know, right by nap time, you know, that thing will wear off and I'll be out cold. I only got 3.5 hours of sleep, so I'm a little bit wired with that, too. Mark and Kenmore, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hello, guys. Yeah, they played horribly last night, obviously, but it does seem to me when you hear the players say, oh, our complete level was bad, we weren't focused, we weren't prepared. I think in essence they are throwing their coach under the bus. I think that does make the coach look bad because you wonder what they were doing for the last 2 days.
But do you really think the coaching staff didn't prepare these guys and tell them what to do? You don't seriously think that's possible?
Well, I got to think he has, but the bottom line is this team's been used to losing, and I do think that one thing I have noticed, there is a trend here too. When this team falls behind, I know it's only 6 games in, but when they fall behind one goal, turn your TV off because they're not coming back. They don't know how to fight from behind.
A little too early for me to make that statement after six games of the season. I'm not going to go there yet. They had ample opportunities last night in a 1-0 game. They had power plays. Even at 2-0, they still had a handful of power plays to get on the board and get back in the game. So I'm not – there have been Sabre teams for sure that if they give up a goal, it snowballs. Like the first moment there's any adversity in a game. There have been teams that have pretty much hung their head on the bench. How many times has Paul Hamilton said that to us over the years? And he's at the game and he watches and goes, yep, so-and-so scored that goal and I looked at the bench and all their heads are hanging low. And the shoulders are slumped and it just snowballs from there. I don't think that was a problem last night. They got outplayed in every facet of the game in the first 20 minutes. And as I said, they were better in the second period than the first. Third period, I think Vegas eased off a little bit. You know, they didn't seem to put the pressure on they had earlier in the game. You know, they had the 2-0 lead, eventually made it 3-0. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's still the same issue with the Sabres team. They're not mentally tough. And the moment they get down a goal, good night, hockey game. I think it's far too early to say that. That has been a problem in the past, but you can't. There's no way I would categorize this team that way just yet. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 if you want to share your thoughts. Mike tweeted in and said, how about just admit basically you had the Vegas flu? Like you got you partied too much in Vegas and you were hungover. That probably wouldn't go over well. I think I'd prefer the we weren't prepared line over the we were hungover. I don't think that would go over really well with the fan base.
I don't think it would really go over well with the organization.
Ownership would be unhappy. Right? The GM might not be thrilled with it.
Just a little bit, probably.
Yeah, not good.
Probably. I mean,
not good.
I mean, you just gotta come out with a better finish. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing with this team is that, yeah, they're young. They're going to have these issues as they get older, but let's just face it, the Sabres are off to a better start, and they have a better team than they have in years. I mean, the last time that they even got three wins in the first six games of the season was the 2011-12 season.
Last season, at this time, we felt the season was over already.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
right?
Abysmal.
By the sixth game of the year, they were a turnover machine. Mm-hmm. The goalies were sieves. They were giving up, they were giving up shots and goals. Like nobody's business. So, as I said, just at least get one win in these next three. If you're 4-5 coming back from this Western trip with the schedule you faced, okay, I'm okay with that. I want more, but that's not a bad spot to be in compared to where previous Octobers have been with this franchise.
And San Jose is a good team, but you finish out the road trip in Southern California with the Kings and the Ducks. I think both those teams are pretty beatable. The Kings are an older team, and the Ducks are just slow. They're still not anywhere near where they've been or really ever, because they've always had that, grinded out, tough, physical size type of team. And they're just starting to switch over to more of a speed team because they got embarrassed last year in the playoffs. So they're trying to change things up. The Kings are not the team that they've been over the past few years. I mean, just go out there and just stick to what you know how to play. Just go out there, get a fast start, play a good speed game like you have against Vegas at home, like you have against Arizona. Mm-hmm. It's just come out playing the way you did those games instead of coming out flat-footed like you have in the three losses.
Hey, Ryan,
it's a tale of two teams.
Ryan, who tweeted in, basically you're too animated. I did see one of his other tweets where I thought it's funny. He's blaming the Bills for me being too animated and getting on them for losing to Vegas. He's blaming the Bills. I think that's funny.
At least you don't have to pick the Sabres.
I think, honestly, and I think it's pretty accurate. I think we're in a bad spot with what's going on with the offense. Frederick tweeted in, reminder of last year, absolutely no goal scoring from about three-quarters of the forwards, no net front presence, no ozone time. We shouldn't talk anymore about the D or the goaltending. We need and have needed goals. Oposo is one of the non-contributors along with Mittelstadt. I thought Oposo played well last night. Mittelstadt actually had one of the better chances in front, but had his stick tied up. The defense was horrible last night. Yeah, you score one goal, you're probably going to lose, but the defense was horrible last night. And Hutton played well. He gave up the second goal. He probably should have stopped, but I thought overall he played well. 803-0550. We'll take your thoughts on the Sabres last night, the 3-3 start. We'll get to some Bills issues at the top of the hour. To join us, grab an open line on WGR.
Hey,
I think we got to just shoot the puck. I mean, when you start struggling on the power play, you usually try to get too cute. And for us, that was what it was. And I think it's myself included, we were just trying to make too many passes when the shot was there with a screen. And so that's one of the most important things. When you have the shot, you got to take it. So we'll learn from it. We'll get better and be back.
It's Casey Milstead. Power play went 0 for 6. Let's see. I got time to get to both. There's a note I want to bring up about the power play and something that Housley tried in the third period, very briefly, and a tweet about Carter Hutton. So quick note on the power play. Yeah, they went 0 for 6. They weren't very good. But in the third period, so the number one power play unit, Housley tweaked it. Did you notice? He had Dahlin for Ristolainen on the 1, 2, 3. This would have been their fourth power play of the game. Power play's doing nothing. He flips up the number one unit. He puts Dahlin up there. He puts Skinner in for Sherry. Now, it didn't really amount to anything. They still didn't do anything on that power play. And then when they went on the power play again 3 minutes later, the number one unit was back to what it normally is. Eichel, Reinhardt, Sherry, Oposo, and Ristolainen. But you wonder, Brayton, if we're going to see a little bit more of that. Will he give Dahlin more time, you know, on that number one power play, flip-flop Ristolainen, and see, you know, as he becomes more comfortable, put a little bit more on his plate? Or, I mean, it could have been just, hey, our power play stinks tonight. It's like changing lines. Like, I'm just going to give it a shot. I'm hoping that it's more of, all right, this is where we start to see Dahlin get a little more time on the number one power play unit. So I thought that was interesting. Again, he put Skinner up there for Sherry, too. So it might have just been, this is his version of shaking up a forward line.
I would like to see Rasmus Dahlin get more time on the first power play unit just because, A, he's playing with a little more experience up at the top unit, and B, I mean, he's probably one of their best puck movers. Him and Jack can just move the puck around with ease on that top power play unit. And the second power play unit, I noticed it just seems too young for me. I'm not saying, you know, youth makes a difference over experience, but I'm just saying that, you know, you got guys like Middlestat, you got guys like Tage Thompson on that unit.
Right?
I mean,
Rodriguez,
sure, Jeff Skinner,
there,
Connor Sherry's going to help,
yeah,
but I just think that unit is too young almost. Like, throw Oposo down on that unit or something like that. Ristolainen might be a nice little addition there, but it you know, you just got to change it up a little bit. I thought that yesterday what Housley was trying to do was just trying to spark something on the power play because they looked stale on their first few attempts.
Right.
They weren't getting anything generated. They weren't shooting the puck, so maybe get the young kid, Dahlin, up on the top unit and maybe get Skinner up there to play along with Jack and see what happens. But it just was rough. It was rough on the power play yesterday.
The quick tweet about Carter Hutton. Got a tweet that said, today's topic, why does Hutton get the nod to start? Linus gets a shutout and watches the boys lose. I don't have a problem starting Hutton. First off, I think he is their number one goalie. You know, he is more of an established NHL presence. Omark played, by the way, very well. He really played well against Arizona. I thought he was, you know, he got the shutout, obviously, but I just thought he looked good. He looked very calm. He was tracking the puck well. He was never out of position. He had, I mean, Marty was talking about on Instigators, he took the right angles. It was a really, really good performance for him. But for the most part, Hutton's played well. I mean, the end of the Colorado game, they hung him out to dry. I mean, that's, you know, they gave up 6 goals because basically they were giving up breakaways like crazy in the final period of that game. So I think Carter Hutton has done very well for so far as a Buffalo Sabres goalie. I didn't have a problem him playing in this game last night. My guess is they could get Omark one of the games this weekend in Los Angeles. Oh, we got a break. Sorry. Like, Brayton's pointing at me. I thought you were going to make a point.
No, it's fine. I agree. I think I bet Hutton would get the start tomorrow, but then between Anaheim or Los Angeles, Allmark should get another start.
Right, and that's fine.
I agree to a point. I think he looks – like, Allmark looked good in net on Saturday against Arizona, and you should get him a more starts. I think that you should try to split it as much. But, yeah, I mean, Hutton is seen as the number one moving forward, and – As I said in my bold predictions piece, I wouldn't be, you know, all that surprised if Allmark continues to play well. And it's nothing against Hutton, is that maybe he takes over the full-time starting position by the time Christmas comes around. It's possible, but again, that's why it's a bold prediction.
803-0550 to join us. You can give us your thoughts on the game last night, the 3-3 start for the Sabres. We'll get to the Josh Allen news when we get back. It is Wednesday, so that is Hoagie Hump Day. All you need to do today to try and win a $25 gift certificate to Jim's Steakout is tweet at WGR550 and tweet us the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. That's it. You will have a shot at the $25 gift certificate to Jim's Steakout. That's going on all day. It's Wednesday. It's Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day to us at WGR550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.